होती है।
Good evening, everyone. We're going to call our meeting to order at, well, 6 o'clock. We can start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And do we have any public comments? First, thank you all for coming, those of you who are in our audience. It's nice seeing faces here. Yeah, always have it. Public comments, I think we did have one public comment, didn't we? Any others? Yeah. Val? It was Val. Oh, Val's not on yet, is she?
No.
Okay, we'll put that off for a minute. Are there any other public comments? Anyone else have, is there a hand raised? No. Well, we'll respond to that public comment personally. That was a pretty detailed one. Okay. Did you want to do the your little mini Olympics first?
Sure, we'd like to invite our middle school Science Olympiad team up for a quick demonstration.
You want to grab?
Why don't you introduce yourselves and let us know what you're doing, because this is going to be a nice little treat. We have a mini Olympics going on.
Spin your right around.
See what you'll miss when you don't show up in person?
Okay. So my name is Nick Malakis. I'm an eighth grade science teacher here at Odyssey Charter Middle School. And I'm here tonight to tell you guys a little bit about the Science Greeks, which is our team nickname for the Science Olympiad competition here in Delaware. It's actually a national competition, but we compete at the state level initially before the winners move on to the nationals. And for the first time, Odyssey Charter Middle School has a competition team to compete in the state level. We have a ton of interest. We actually only have 15 members in the competition team. We had over 20 students come out from the Science Olympiad team. So we actually had some members stick around as support members to help other competition team members and train so that they can come back next year with experience. And hopefully we will grow and continue to improve year after year. But Science Olympiad, if you don't know, is a team-based STEM competition with 23 events, and there's different divisions based on grade levels. So we're competing in Division B, which is for 6th through 9th grade. And so I brought up some competition team members tonight to tell you about some of the events that they're doing, give you some demonstrations and some insight into what we will be doing on March 11th when we go down to Delaware State to compete in a state tournament.
All right.
Hi, my name is Christopher, and I'm in 8th grade, and I'm working on Storm the Castle, which is a catapult, and the goal of the is to launch an object with a counterweight into a bucket that is set at a distance, and that brought our model.
So these students designed and then constructed these. I forgot to mention, there's 4 different categories of events. There's engineering, there's content knowledge, there's laboratory process, and then there's hybrid. Some of the events tonight are engineering. Storm the Castle is an engineering event, which they have to design and then keep a log of their designs and their construction of their material or their item. And then we get to go to the state competition and test it. So we'll show you. We wanted to show you a demonstration tonight. The goal is to launch a projectile into a bucket at a certain distance, and you get scored based on whether you make it into the bucket and how far away it is. So, Chris, do you want to show everybody how this works?
Step back.
Missed a little bit. We had it dialed in before, but we were making like maybe 6 or 7 out of 10 beforehand. Work in progress. So these are still prototypes we are developing, and we have till 11th to finalize our design.
So go try.
You want to try it one more time? I think we can get it. Is the marble lost over there?
No, it's on. It doesn't poke me in the eye. Okay.
Right, let's try this again.
I don't know.
Don't get it.
Oh,
yeah. Keep it back. Give us a back.
I'm Ravita, and I'm doing bridge, frame the wave, and solar system. So bridge is an engineering project which we have to make a bridge to sustain a certain amount of weight. For this year, it is 15 kilograms. So this is our prototype so far that we have made.
And what are you going to do with that?
So there is going to be 15 kilograms placed on the bridge, so it has to withstand that weight.
So there's a span that's 55 centimeters long and 30 centimeters wide.
Yes.
And they have to place the bridge over the span, and it has to support weight on the top plane of the bridge. And you get scored based on how much weight you can support on on the bridge. That's an engineering thing.
Excellent.
But you're also doing with Creative Wave and Source, which are content out events.
Very good. Awesome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
I'm Stephanie Leach, and I'm in eighth grade, and I'm in three different events. I'm doing Roller Coaster, Codebusters, and Write It Do It. And in Roller Coaster, we have to create and design a roller that can bring a marble down in a certain amount of time, which we don't actually know the time until we get to the competition. So we have to be able to know how to fix and change the roller coaster once we're there to then get it to that certain time limit.
Wow.
And then I'm also doing Codebusters, which is encrypting and decrypting different ciphers and codes. And Write It Do It, which I have a partner, and one of us has to see a little creation and write down instructions on how to build it. And then the other one has to take those written instructions and try to build the creation as close to the original one as possible.
Wow, so far beyond me. That's amazing.
Yeah. Really, I want to give credit to Vasily, the eighth grade math teacher. He has helped tremendously. He's come at least once a week for the last couple of months to support us, as well as a parent, Isaac Lynn, which is Zechariah Lynn's father. He's been coming at least once a week to help support the team as a volunteer as well. And we still have a couple of weeks. And so we're going to finalize all the stuff, and hopefully we have some good news after March 11th when we come back. So.
So excited.
Oh, God, you guys. May they done.
That's good luck. You guys are going to do great.
Got it.
That's wonderful. I'm so confident. Thank you to the volunteer parents and teachers. I mean, this is just amazing. We can always use our volunteers. We appreciate you, and we can always use more. Okay. Do we have our, you all received your previous minutes. I think Ken received a couple of corrections. Ken, are you on? Is Ken on?
I don't see him.
I don't know if he's on. Are there any other additions or changes to the minutes?
The only thing I had asked Ken, if it would be all right to add Joey Brooks's name to the A2 list, his exam was postponed because of COVID, so it was no longer a Odyssey student when he took it, but he did pass it, and that's a testament to
what that probably did. Dr. Marina, or what you would probably talk to the
okay.
Yeah, but
No, I just mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Shut it in the minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the minutes.
Yeah.
He was, it, I don't know. I realize I have a vested interest in this, but I'm like, it wasn't his fault to get, postponed.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, I agree. Any other corrections or additions to the minutes? No. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the minutes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. A second. And then, okay, approved. And our head of school report.
Okay, I'm going to try to be as quick as I can. Our focus for this month, number one, we have the school preview day, which is for the 2nd of March. It's from 4:30 to 6:30. A lot of the focus in the school has been in preparing for this. In our meeting that we had on February 21st, we planned the school preview day with our parent council. This is an opportunity for the students that received a seat from the lottery to come visit the school and returning families to come visit the school. And we are showcasing our entire program K-12. Including after school activities and cheerleaders and everything like that. So I'd like to thank publicly the council for organizing the food activities and volunteering their time for this. It's very, very important to us. I'll coincidentally talk about another thing that we're going to be doing during that time as well.
When is that?
That is March 2nd from 4:30 to 6:30. Should be a very successful event for us. In terms of our walkthroughs, we are using walkthroughs to progress monitor the major initiatives, both in the culture and academics. Academically, the school is implementing systems that promote literacy in all grade levels. We've adopted the mantra that we all teach literacy, as we've talked about before, and we're focusing on that collaboration as we move forward and making sure that we are providing opportunities for all students to improve their literacy in all grade levels. Grant submissions, we submitted a HOPE grant as well for $20,000. We'll get back on that pretty soon. I don't think we've heard back yet, right? From HOPE, that's correct. Academics update, our schools are using the end of semester data to help adjust instruction for semester two. We're incorporating SBAC and SAT questions into curricula in order to support success on the upcoming high stakes assessments in May. The head of schools, me obviously, is meeting with staff in all levels to discuss data trends. The first such meeting was with the middle school staff last week. The team will create goals to address preparation for SBAC and SAT accordingly. So we shared subgroup data, we shared trends, and the teams are coming together to figure out exactly how they're going to implement all of the different pieces in order to get students ready to succeed in the May exams. From the culture focus, we have all added more cultural events in the school. We had some winter programs, and now this month we're celebrating Black History Month. We had a Black History presentation and or, I don't know, what would we call it? Like assembly pep rally last week. We had the middle school and high school one at the Grail. And the other one was, the intermediate one was where?
It was in the building, right?
We had contracted outside vendors as well to help us make it a very exciting cultural event. We'd like to thank Miss Bonet for all of her efforts to make that possible. I think it was a phenomenal event. We did the Facebook Live some of it, so maybe some of you caught it on Facebook Live as well. And now we're planning for the end of month, we're planning a carnival celebration. Carnival is something that's celebrated in South America. It's celebrated in the southern parts of the United States, New Orleans region, and obviously it's celebrated in Greece as well. So it's a wonderful international event. And what we're going to be doing is we are going to be having kids come in carnival costumes, and we're going to do a parade conga line around the entire field over here. And celebration, and that's I think on February 24th, we said, right? February 24th. So we'll be sending out some information very, very shortly on that, because I know there's an urgency to get all the information out. Talk about that soon. Let's see. I think Ms. Bonet talks to some of these things as well. Our next books and basketball event will be on the 8th of March for our intermediate school scholars. We look forward to having the Delaware Bluecoats come back out to celebrate with our intermediate school students. We have our chat and choose. We just had one last week, and we were able to hear from different levels of employees, and we continue to, you know, to use that to inform our decision making moving forward. The next executive parent council meeting is on the 21st, and we are using that time to do final preparations for our preview day again. That's March 2nd. Which is a big, big focus for our school right now. At which point, I'm going to actually turn it over to our deans for updates. Dr. Davis, you're on, right? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and let you do the lower school updates.
Sir, hi. Thank you, everybody. I'm sorry that I'm not there in person. I apologize. There's an echo. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So as we talked about literacy in every building, we've been having monthly literacy events. This month we did a book study of a book that was actually brought to us by a student and a family of one of our students, the Sipple family. One of their grandparents is actually both grandparents are award-winning authors, and one of the books that was written was Somebody Loves You, Mr. Hatch. So every grade level read that book and did literacy activities around that story. And we're doing a culminating activity on Friday where the students school-wide will be viewing a puppet show of that story. And we got free access to that for our entire building. So that's a really exciting opportunity that we're having. We're also going to be participating in the Blue Rocks Rocky Reading Challenge that Ms. Barrera is coordinating for us. So thank you so much for that, Ms. Barrera. It's optional, but parents will be getting reading logs sent home, and if they do want to participate, they can participate in the, all the instructions will be there, but you can fill out a reading log and let the participate in the award and figure out what you've been reading at home and submit that through your homerooms. We also have another literacy event going on. Our former student, Cooper Petticone, is working on a story walk for his Eagle Scout Award. And he's going to be putting basically posts with mounted stories in English and Greek outside of the main entrance of the Building 26, the new lower school. It will not only beautify the school, but also, you know, commit to literacy and show both cultures and languages. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us. So we thank him so much for working on that. We also discussed student behavior last time. So we did, I did want to follow up that we've launched a Hand to Ourselves and No Speeding safety campaign. We've been going through as administrators into every classroom, talking about the importance of safety and keeping our hands to ourselves, moving safely throughout the building, and kindness. This is also Kindness Week at the lower school, which we've been celebrating with random acts of kindness. And we thank our counselors, Ms. Yang and Ms. Angelo, for supporting that process and the fun activities that they're doing for Kindness Week. So administrators are going into buildings. We're going to be having posters all over, and we will be sending notes home with students who are either doing a fantastic job keeping their hands to themselves, walking safely and being kind, or grow notes for students who need to work on it and practice at home. In November, we did start utilizing substitute staff to support us in monitoring students. So they had a number of roles in the classrooms. They could just be an aide in the classroom, providing supplemental supervision during less structured times like lunch and recess, monitoring bathrooms and hallways, supporting small group academic intervention. So that has been a challenge because we have, coming back from COVID, we do have more students who are requiring intervention than we had previously anticipated. And so we are needing, you know, to break up into smaller groups and have people monitor the tier one students who are on grade level. So that was something that those substitutes were able to do, to monitor those students who are on grade level and able to complete tasks more independently. We also have our redirection room now up and running, where students complete think sheets if they are having issues with behavior, and those are getting sent home as well to inform parents about what's going on, and have restorative conversations with other students when they need to rebuild a relationship after an incident has occurred. And we also have a para position that was staffed by one of those people. So we have been utilizing those individuals to support us with that, and it has been a great help. On the tip of parent engagement, we are starting our admin meet and greets at the lower school. So we are currently going to be meeting with student advisor, dean, and family crisis therapist. We're having one per month for the next 3 months. The first one is going to be on the 21st of February from 4:30 to 5:15 in the cafeteria. It's going to be an interactive conversation. We'll be doing some activities where we present some of our challenges and things that are brought to us as admin about deciding whether different activities and interactions between students are bullying or not. You know, working through our code of conduct, and just hear from the families who come as well in terms of how they feel that things are being worked out at the lower school and what they would like us to consider moving forward. So it should be really a very eye-opening experience. I hope that many people will come, and we would like to see more faces in our cafeteria on that date so that we can get to know everybody. We also are doing the, of course, the students preview day. We are very excited to have people come in, and we're going to be having interactive experiences in the lower school where you can go into classrooms and actually see what our program is like and have the experience of a student. So we hope many people will attend that. We are also beginning to plan our kindergarten graduation, which happens annually. It will be on the 5th of June at 5:30 at McKean High School. And kindergarten students do wear cap and gown to that, and they will be measured this year for their cap and gown. So at some point at the end of February, we will be having people come in to actually measure them, and those parents will get more information about that. But it's one of our very exciting events. We do have some more after-school activities coming up. The Green Team is starting now in March, on March 9th. They did have a very high interest rate from their survey, so they are going to be utilizing a lottery, and they should be reaching out to families very shortly, if not already, to let them know who has been selected. They'll also be working on an interactive garden in our playground space at the lower school that all grade levels will participate in and actually take a role in planting, tending, and caring for. So that is going to be a wonderful learning experience for our students. And our walking running club is going to be starting up for its spring session again soon. So that is all I have.
Thank you, Dr. Davis. Mr. Cohen?
Okay, good evening, everybody. So this week is Random Act of Kindness. So Ms. Pastor Mello, our lead counselor, and then Ms. Yang, who splits her time between intermediate school and lower school, and then our family crisis counselor, Ms. Wright, have all been working together to develop activities that are in the homeroom classrooms and in different classrooms in the school. So students are doing random acts of kindness, and then they are then earning tickets to then have some cash out celebrations. They've already been doing that this week, which has been great. We have spread the word and the word coming up. The partnership that I've built over the past 8 years with Special Olympics Group of Delaware, we're partnered again this year. So on March 1st, the national year, we will be having our assembly in the intermediate school. So that will be really great with them coming, and we're doing different activities. As far as with celebration of Greek Language Day, we celebrated that, and some YouTube videos of their performances were posted. I know that the Greek immersion in fourth grade, when Dr. Lukaku returned to campus, they went and sung several Greek songs to her to welcome her back, which was exciting. Also, we got the official green light last week to be able to have our classrooms during recess, third, fourth, and fifth grade, be able to then start accessing the soccer field right there because of some of the concerns that we had been receiving from parents regarding the condition of the blacktop and areas that they were using during recess. So then that'll help increase the safety, and then they'll have a little bit more room to run around and so forth, which is really good. As far as we're in the middle of the year, so Dibbles and start testing middle of the year has been complete, and all that middle of the year data to help tweak intervention groups and seeing if students have actually increased skill sets to move them from either tier three to tier two to tier one, or and so forth, or even reverse tier one to tier two, or tier two to tier three, and then putting supports in place to support their needs. And I would say the last thing I'd like to share out tonight, the second to last thing is one is looking ahead, because our PPL coverage will be in several staff members this spring. So looking at trying to fill those positions when they go out, so that it is a pretty much seamless transition from them going on maternity leave to then having an instructional staff member support that classrooms for the rest of the school year, and then moving into the beginning of next school year, since they will be out with the return of the school year next year. The last thing is, I started in October, November, December, January, February, and I have them scheduled all the way through March. I have really taken the lead, since we have three grade levels with two cohorts of four classrooms at each grade level. So two fours at third, two fours at fourth, two fours at fifth, that in these cohort of four classrooms do not ever have common planning time. Because if you're on a cohort of four and I'm on the other cohort of four, our schedules are opposite. So it's really vital for them to really have those conversations and those opportunities to talk about curriculum, to talk about grade level, PBS, you know, successes, failures, you know, really coming together and having that opportunity to plan, talking about best practices and so forth. So I have I've been focusing on fifth grade right now, and I've provided numerous opportunities for them to then have common planning across cohorts by providing coverage for them for anywhere up to an hour and a half monthly. So it's been very valuable to a lot of them and so forth, especially if you teach science and you're in the other cohort and I teach science in the other cohort, we don't really ever have any time to talk about science instruction. So that is giving them those opportunities to really come together. So, and I'm moving forward with that. So that's all I have.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Very good.
Ms. Rodriguez.
In the middle school, we're also doing random acts of kindness for Kindness Week. Excuse me. On Tuesday, we had Wear Red for Valentine's Day. Today, we had Cozy Up to Kindness with students coming in pajamas. We also had a kindness tic-tac-toe game that they did. Tomorrow, they are doing the Kindness Kid Award through Homeroom, where students have to write why they're choosing this student to be, why this child is the kindness, what random act of kindness have they done. And on Friday, I believe they're doing what they're calling Inclusion Day, and it's finding someone new to sit with, someone that you've never sat with before, whether it be on the bus, in the cafeteria, in class. Additionally, through all of this, we're doing kindness shout-outs in the announcements. So our counselor created a Google form where students can enter shout-outs, and it could be a shout-out to a friend, a shout-out to a teacher. Obviously, she's monitoring these shout-outs to make sure they're appropriate, but they are being read in the announcements. So the kids get to hear the shout-outs that they're giving to their peers and to their teachers. Today, we took the social studies DEFA exam, and we learned that everything went swimmingly. It was taken in sixth and eighth grade. Our test coordinator, Ms. Vinton, came back and said it was flawless. Everything came back very nicely. And I think it was something like 90-some percent were tested. We were only missing 20 students that need to be tested. Friday night is our spectacular winter dance. And again, I ask that if you've never been to a middle school dance, You have not lived. So we welcome any board members who would like to come experience.
Sorry, I'm out of town.
Don't know what you're missing. It is quite an experience. It's this Friday night, 7 to 9. Additionally, last week I had the extreme pleasure of sitting in on a meeting with Dr. Legaku for incoming immersion sixth graders. So it wasn't really the students, but sitting with the parents and being able to answer questions that they had and any concerns that they had. And I am feeling this is going to be one of many meetings yet to come, but I believe it went very well. And I'm trying to memorize everything I put on the test board.
High school?
Sure. So this week, or the past week, we had a Black History Month presentation. The girls, students are having quite a busy month. The third working period settling in, and lots of student activities, lots of CPSO competition, and field trips starting up now. Our college acceptances are rolling in. We now have students who have reported a total of over 90 acceptances to more than 50 different schools in 19 different states. So a wide variety of places that they have been accepted to already. Our seniors have also reported merit-based aid in excess of $1.6 million. In terms of school choice, our school choice window, we are still encouraging people to still continue to apply to Aspen Charter High School. We are excited and to welcome them on our preview night on Thursday, March 2nd. We also have a number of new courses being added to our course catalog for this following school year that students can enroll in. We are doing course selections at this time. So upcoming courses that we have added are AP Pre-Calculus, AP Chemistry. We're bringing back the University of Delaware on-prep lab. We have added the K-12 Teacher Academy CTE program, the Digital Communication CTE program, and work-based learning. So lots of new opportunities for our students as we continue to grow. We would also like to recognize the following accomplishments this month. Congratulations to our teachers, Sonny and Halima. Ms. Halima's computer science pathway contains both AP Computer Science A and AP Computer Science Principal. Both these courses were recently recognized by the College Board for the 2022 AP Computer Science Female Diversity Award. And then also congratulations to another one of our teachers, Ms. Tracy, for being named a finalist in the Superstar of the Education Award. If selected, this will be Addison's first win of the Superstar of the Education Award. And then lastly, I have approximately 1,000 different field trips to be approved. We are asking for approval for the following trips. We have 3 students who are attending the Hellenic History Tournament in Cherry Hill, New Jersey on February 18th. That is very soon. We have our high school art class is taking their annual trip to the National Gallery of Art. And this year they're going to National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. Previously approved, but now with exact dates, our senior class trip is going to Camelback Mountain, PA. We are leaving on Friday, March 31st, and returning on Sunday, April 2nd. The high school Jordy Park trip is a tentative date of June 5th, Monday, June 5th. We have the high school band going to Music in the Parks Day at Six Flags Great Adventure in New Jersey on May 26th. The high school food studies parent pathway going to the Delaware Valley University Agriculture Program on April 5th. The high school computer science pathway going to the National Security Agency in Maryland on May 16th. High school attending BPA Nationals, April 26th to the 30th in Anaheim, California. And then there's one other one that I'll just throw in, the Greek Independence Day Parade for all levels, April 2nd in Philadelphia.
Excellent. Do I hear a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve the field trips.
May I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And anybody else want to go along with them? Because they sound like really fun trips.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking for chaperones with some of these. So if you'd like to, please let me know.
All in favor say aye.
Might need a few more buttons.
Yeah. Okay, nice plug. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passed. Have fun.
Thank you. I don't think I get to go right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's 6:30 here.
Okay, let me see. Do we have any other reports of the... Do you have a report? Because we want to break around 6:30. We're going to go into an executive session.
Can I bring something up, just a quick minute? There is one more field trip. I don't know if I missed it. The fifth grade team asked me to bring it up. Their field trip to Washington, D.C., our field trip on May 31st.
Okay. Motion?
Okay. I move that we
thanks,
add.
Ashley.
Adding that?
I'll second.
All right. Adam, okay, all
yeah.
In favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passed.
Great.
Let me see if Mike is on for a second. Do we have any other reports? Because we're going to have to take a quick, we're going to break around 6:30 hopefully a brief.
Henry, I don't see Mike on yet. Can I ask one question on the reports while we're waiting for him? And if he joins, we can just...
Mike is here.
We are here. iPhone 2.
Can we finish up the reports and then go into executive session? Do you mind? Mike?
No, of course not. Don't mind at all.
That's why I don't have to sit around. Okay, we'll make it quick. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike and Savannah. I appreciate that. just so everyone knows, we are in the midst of ELL Access Pass testing. So we are we have students this time doing the listening, writing, reading, and speaking sections. And then OCS is being represented at the DOE Multilingual Learner Steering Committee. And it'll be a committee to revise the current strategic plan for English learners, which is really exciting that we're part of that and have some input. Middle of the year benchmarking for MTSS is complete, and data discussions were held at K-5 PLCs. We reviewed our DIBLs and our STAR math and reading, Our cycle begins or began February 6th, as students are in flexible grouping. If parents have specific questions about their students' interventions, they need to reach out to their homeroom teacher or to the deans of the school. We are reviewing the MTSS structure to help support classroom management at the K-5 level. And then we actually are meeting with DOE, I think in March or later in February, to talk about some opportunities for coaching they may have for MTSS with our K-2 school. Special education, we actually looked at some numbers today to try to figure out how we can better support the services for all of our kiddos. And I think we have a good path forward. And then Wonderful has received our compliance report, and we have been found compliant so far in the following areas: indicator federal compliant, indicator 13, which is transition, in our disproportionality and overrepresentation, and then indicator 11 with our timely evaluations. And I really have to give a shout out to our EDs and school psychologists, because they really work their butts off to make sure that we met those deadlines and support our students. So that's all I can do to that.
Excellent. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank any other reports right now? We all good? Good. Let's see. I'm gonna hold off on you.
Yeah.
To you afterwards.
Yep.
I don't know if, did you want to hang out and do CBSC or after our okay. All right. Then let's go ahead and break over there. You all can hang out. You don't have to, whatever. Thank you for coming.
And Mary, can I ask a question first before we...
Oh, that's right. Erin, you had a question before we break, right?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so thank you very much, guys, for sharing the discipline data. That was really helpful. I just had one question. So looking through it, it looks like middle school and high school were about flat, and especially considering that there were fewer school days in December, I think that's that in January, that's impressive. I had a question on intermediate school and lower school. So even counting for the fewer days in December and January, and I totally understand, by the way, coming back from break, there's probably some kind of reset that needs to happen, but there was a pretty dramatic increase, especially with referrals, but with FYIs as well. So I wanted to check in, you know, we're halfway through February, just anecdotally, how are we trending in February? I know there were some measures from the report that you guys were putting in place to try to correct that. Do they seem to be working? Are we looking at additional, you know, measures? Just want to understand kind of how we're trending this month.
Do you want me to start for lower school?
Intermediate school.
Either one. Yeah, I can hear you.
That's intermediate school. Yes, there was a significant increase in the intermediate school behavior referrals and FYIs coming out of winter break. I think there's many pieces to that puzzle. The thing that we're doing now, we've had less in the past week. The first 10 days of February was much higher than I would like to have seen. We're supporting those identified classrooms. We're working on reinforcing classroom management strategies. We are continuing to build that team approach with pulling the parents into these conversations and supporting their students. Parent came in today, we called them up because of their student. I was trying to move away from doing a lot of discipline, being the interim principal now that I have a student advisor, but I am now circling back because of the increase. So I'm spending a little bit more time targeting some specific classrooms and specific identified students from the teachers that need some extra support. So,
thank you. That's really helpful. I assume you guys are sort of swarming on it, but just wanted to check in because those numbers were pretty high and just see how we're trending. So thank you very much.
So
So, and yes. I can jump in for the lower school. I mean, a lot of similar responses. We are getting into the classrooms that we see require support and giving feedback to the teachers. As I mentioned, we have been using also additional substitutes sometimes to be able to provide an extra set of hands or eyes in classrooms that we have identified as needing extra support. Dr. Yerim, Dr. Lukaku, and I are all going into classrooms at this point and supporting those teachers who are needing more support. We also, instead of the assemblies that we had at the beginning of the year, we are going into classrooms and having kind of, restorative conversations with the entire class when needed about, what it looks like to treat each other respectfully, kindly, and why we have the rules that we have in place. And the campaign of kind of keeping our hands to ourselves at all times is a new strategy that we are implementing now, because we see that a lot of the behaviors that we are trying to target seem to stem out of more developmentally appropriate interactions where students are simply horsing around, sometimes even being kind, being silly, and it simply escalates very quickly with certain individuals. And so we are trying to get back to a new norm of really keeping our space, making sure that we are maintaining, distance and respecting people's personal space. That's something we're working on school-wide, and we do have a specific program that is going on in the kindergarten classrooms that we've been doing for 2 years now, helping students understand how to self-regulate and how to identify emotions and deal with how they're feeling when they are struggling with, their space being violated or interactions with other students that make them feel certain ways. So we are continuing to work on those. We are discussing some other strategies moving forward about possibly having some more intensive sort of training skill building going on for specific students who are really struggling to adapt to our expectations in the general classroom setting. But for the most part, we are targeting, behaviors coming from a smaller subset of students, not from the general student population. And we're trying to support them in gaining the skills that they need.
Got it. Thank you. And so those sound like great strategies. Are those playing out 2 weeks into February, are the numbers coming down from where they were in January? Are they kind of stable? I recognize some of those strategies take time to take hold, but what are you seeing at least anecdotally in the first couple of weeks?
So I don't have the data in front of me, but yeah, anecdotally, so some of the general white noise of the behaviors, I think, has actually gotten a bit better. I also, there's major strategies that I'm going to put in place next year to just minimize the amount of volume of students in certain areas during less structured times. Recess and lunch, I think, will be breaking down into teams so that students will not all be together at once having those times together. So that should be helpful. For this year, though, I do see a lot of that white noise in that time starting to reduce, but we're still working with specific students who I think we're struggling to get, the responses that would generally work with much of the population.
Okay, thank you, appreciate it.
Are there any other questions for our teams? Eva, you had something you wanted to add?
Since March 3rd was not on the original school calendar we had voted in, I think just to be correct, we should vote that as a day off for the students.
It's a half day.
Half day?
Okay.
Half day.
Okay, even so.
Hey, do I hear a second to that?
Second.
Any discussion?
Go ahead, Helen, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I can explain why it was added. So the preview date is an evening commitment, so similar to conferences, where all of our staff are required to stay in the evening. The following day of consecutive conferences, we have conferences in the morning, and they are given a half day back in the compensatory time. So it's a way for us to give compensatory time for all of our staff that we are adding to stay on the preview night and to encourage them to stay for preview night.
I would just ask that in the future, something like that, would discuss that. It was already in there. Or you're saying
for next? It's in the calendar for next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Only because that's an inconvenience for parents, and being considerate of our school population, that's probably difficult for parents if it's not already pre-scheduled.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Are you opposed? Aye. Motion passed. Great. Okay. Any other questions for our deans? Okay, we're going to break then for a meeting, and then we'll return. So I guess we'll go over there.
There, if you want to go upstairs, I'll have it easier.
Whatever's closest. We're going to the break room over there. Okay, we are back from executive session. Thank you for your patience. There was no vote in the meeting, and we will now progress with the remainder of our business. I don't know if poor Dr. Yolanda is on, but I completely overlooked her.
Somebody else wants to be in here.
All right, we should be good now.
Okay, we're good now? All right, so good. Yeah, I don't see. Is Dr. Ioana still on? Mm-hmm. I mean, well, we can put your report. No, she's still on. Yes, Dr. Ioana, if you want to present your report, I do apologize. I missed that.
Calispera, hello.
Calispera, si no me.
No problem, I'm here. So, and I'm going to be quick. So just to tell you that we celebrated K through 12 across the board, the Greek Language Day. It was February 9th. And actually there were so many things happening. I'm just going to tell you a few things. One is that we created two videos this time, this year. One, it was only for lower school, and the other one was third grade through 12, with students explaining both in Greek and in English, why Greek or why they like Greek. And there was, I think they were very cute and very interesting videos to watch. And I posted them also on our Facebook page and on our website. So you can see them there. On that day, on the Greek language, International Greek Language Day, we had a very nice event. We had a live interview on Zoom with an awarded writer from Greece, Mr. Mikis Tsitas, by our fifth grade immersion students. And they enjoyed it so much. They worked with Kyria Thalia, the Greek language teacher, for about 10 days, reading a book of Mr. Tsitas, and they were getting ready to ask him questions, not only about the book, but about what does it mean to be a writer, questions about his life, why he chose these kind of topics for his books. It was a very, very interesting event. And of course, everything was in Greek. And just to give you, after the interview, all students were so excited. So they asked for next time to take an interview from the writer of Harry Potter. So they're ready. I hope she speaks Greek. Yes. She doesn't, but yes, we'll find somebody. She has taken so much from Greek mythology and, you know, all the names. Anyway. Yeah. Also, our lower school Greek culture teacher, Kyria Irini, this week gives lessons about Black History Month, and she found ways to connect the Black History Month with Greek culture. Yes, I think it's very nice what she's doing there with the kids. And in February 21st, we're going to celebrate also the International Mother Tongue Day to celebrate all the languages our students speak at home, or the heritage and the culture, to honor everybody and include everybody. The next item has to do with the expansion of middle school. Ms. Rodriguez, the Dean of Middle School, mentioned it already.
We're working together very closely to get ready for next year, the first year of the immersion in middle school. And last week we had a meeting with our currently fifth grade parents, immersion parents, to ask their questions, to present the plan for next year and so on. And it was a very productive meeting, I think. Let me see. The next one is we continue our collaboration with the Pierce College of Athens. This month, our students exchange impressions about how we celebrated the International Greek Language Day here and how they celebrated in Greece, in Athens. For this purpose, we have our students, of course, writing in Greek and the Greek students writing in English. So both populations can see how the other students learn a foreign language. And it's very, the feedback that we got from students is very positive. They like it. The other two items, I'm going to just mention them because Mr. Pappas, I think, spoke about this too. We are going to have a big celebration for the Greek Carnival, the Apocryas, next Friday. And also we are getting ready for the parade for the Greek International Day, Independence Day, sorry. The day is March 25th, but the parade in Philadelphia will be April 2nd. So get ready for more news and updates about that. And for last, I kept a program that comes back for Odyssey after the COVID years. It's for our high school. The Harvard, the program that we have, we collaborate with Harvard in Greece, in Nafplio. And we are going to send again a high school students in Nafplion for about a little more than a week with one teacher from Odyssey to participate in this very, very interesting program run by Hellenic Studies in Harvard here. You will have, I'm going to post more news and the flyer and everything probably at the beginning of next week. I will have everything from Nafplion. And that's all from me.
Bravo. Και συγγνώμη και περαστικά.
No problem.
Okay. And now we can resume our schedule. Previously disrupted with our monthly financial review.
Sure. Let me hop in here. We're going to be looking at the monthly report from January 31st, 2023. This period ending represents 7 months or 58% of the fiscal year. The revenues collected to date are $40.5 million, or 97.9% of the budget. Revenues collected during January are pretty in line with what we'd expect through this fiscal portion of the cycle. Given the state has completed their mid-year unit count processes and reconciliations are underway, the associated information from the state should be provided before the end of February to guide the final budgeting process. And the expenditure side, expenses to date are $21.1 million, representing 63% of the budget, in line with where we were in previous fiscal years. We want to give a thank you to the OCS PTO for fundraising for the newly installed campus entry checkpoint station, as well as agreeing to take over the vending machines on campus. The classroom expansion projects in the Lowland High School have begun and are expected to be fully funded through our enhanced MCI funds provided by the state. Viable financing options for upcoming capital project items are in the exploration process. Local banks and CFDI firms are providing options that will align with the school's current debt timeline. FY23 final budget creation is in progress and intended to be presented in the board's the March OCS board meeting and a finance committee meeting prior to that for approval. Preliminary planning for next school year has begun and over 1,100 students have applied through the choice system to OCS. As of last week, 108 students had accepted their invitation within the first week. Contact from OCS to all invited and accepted students has been commenced, culminating with the March 2nd preview day on campus. To date, 842,000 of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminarily budgeted 1.8 million. The projected year-end cash on hand is 8.1 million, of which 7.2 is unrestricted and 918,000 restricted for use of federal funds. Any questions?
Any questions for Jeff? Is this, do we need a
the web report?
Okay, do we have a motion to approve the web report?
I'll make a motion to approve the web report.
Second?
Second.
Helen seconds. All in favor of approving the web report?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Oh, motion passed. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to move on? Did you want to?
I don't know, whatever you want to discuss that we could do it, go to the school, new business.
Okay. So let's go on with our committee reports. CBOC.
CBOC, we met this evening and we discussed what we needed to discuss, i.e., the financial report, and talked about the P-card transactions. And meeting started at 5:17, ended at 5:37.
Love those kind of meetings.
It was nice. Good job. I'll teach you guys how to do that.
Great job. I love it. We're getting better. We don't say
on
midnight anymore.
Yeah.
DEI, we have
anything with
DEI?
I don't, unless Eva does.
Okay. No, I don't. Just thanks to Ken for the donation to the pantry.
Okay. Greek program, Dr. Yolanda gave us an update on what was happening with the Greek program. Finance, fundraising, and development.
We're progressing with planning for the health and wellness fair event and fundraiser. Committee meetings occurred last week for that.
Yeah,
we do. Our health and physical education teachers are heavily involved, as well as school nurses and our athletic director and our marketing team, Carl and Patrick. And we're utilizing the new software system that we're using for fundraising to be able to do peer-to-peer fundraising on our own. And we're on track for kickoff for that. The actual event on April 29th, the week leading up to it, is sort of a curriculum sort of catered around health and wellness, and the fundraising to kick off in March. The golf outing event has been filling up quickly. I think we've got about 23 foursomes committed. We've received six or seven sponsorships at this point. And so we encourage those that would like to play in the event or be involved to sign up and buy tickets quickly, because they're limited seats remaining.
Okay, there's your plug.
There's also two more 24 event. We participated last year as well. It's for nonprofits across the state, and we are registered with them, and it is on the same day as our preview day. So we've created a flyer and a barcode scan so that people can donate when they come to preview day as well. We're hoping that will help increase our fundraising by aligning those events.
Excellent. We're going to get it. Anyone else? Strategic planning. I don't think there's any updates for that at this point, right, Elias? PTO, safety and
security. Sorry, I was trying to unmute. Yeah, we're just talking to the last final few folks. Hope to have that done within the next couple of days. Other than that, no major updates.
Okay. Any other committee reports that would like to be presented? Okay. Is there any old business? I don't think we have. Maybe we can talk to all the old business. New business. Did you want to bring that up under new business?
Sure. I sent out some information last week about a new bus purchase proposal for the board to review. In case not everyone had a chance to read it, I'll go over some of the overview of what we're looking at, the timing, the financing, that kind of thing. So understanding, you know, the minor modification that was approved by the DOE and CSAC last year, with a slow growth of enrollment over the next couple of years, we understand that we're going to have more students as part of the enrollment next year, and understanding that additional buses will be required to provide transportation for that. Currently, we have 16 route buses that are utilized as service grade 6 to 12, of which 7 are at full capacity and 4 are approaching full capacity. Last year, a request was made by OCS Transportation in advance of this to Wolfington Body Company for 3 2024 72 passenger buses in the event that they may actually get them. New buses have approximately a 1-year lead time for creation. And during the last 3 years, that's actually been expanded larger because of supply shortages and staffing shortages. Though the buses are currently being held for us to purchase, Wolfington has a high demand for the buses and would easily be able to sell them to other parties if we were to pass. Unfortunately, OCS Transportation has been unable to identify any used Delaware spec buses that would definitely be available for purchase now or this summer. Though there are some avenues that may lead to used buses becoming available this summer, the risk of that assumption falling through becomes elevated given the planned expansion. From a timing and financing perspective, as the buses have arrived and are ready for purchase, we'd obtain them probably within 1 month. The preliminary budget included $388,000 for financing costs associated with our current fleet, $268,000 for the original fleet, and $120,000 for the recent 4 bus purchase we completed in last August. However, the actual projection expects the total FY23 fleet cost to be $339,000, which is about $50,000 less, due to adjustments to the new financing amount from the assumptions that we made back in June, as well as the completion of one of our pre-existing loans. Though not required for this year's enrollment, these buses arriving prior to the end of the year would allow additional stops to be added to routes to alleviate pressure and capacity, as well as create additional contracted routes for earned income for the program. Some of the financing proposals we looked at over a 60-month term, we received a quote back from Santander Bank, who we have loans with for our other buses at 5.75% for a municipal rate, and Del One Federal Credit Union at 7.125%. So obviously, we would favor the 5.75% at this time. The recommendation for board consideration is to move forward with the purchase of these 3 new buses, approving Santander as the best financing option, or another bank if a lower rate is presented between the board meeting and closing, but unlikely. And Evan's here as well to answer any questions that we may have.
So I just want to get clarity. The buses that you're requesting right now are for us to fix a current problem we're having?
It's to, so we're having over 100 kids, 6 and 12. And the bus capacity is 48 students. So 90, over 90% of our students in grade 6 and 12 ride buses. I'm saying that if I do not have more buses next year, I may not have transportation for students.
So the current, I'd say also to answer your question, it's not necessarily solving a problem in this current school year for this fiscal year. I think it's more of almost an opportunity or that we could have to add additional stops for families that I know. I think some of our more, crowded stops, Bear Library or some others may benefit from additional stops being created so that it could alleviate some of that pressure, but also be, enterprise opportunity as well, knowing that the demand that we have from our transportation department from outside contracting to provide for them as well.
So right now, we're using all the buses that we have, and Odyssey comes first, always. But March, April, May, the spring season, if you will, is the busiest season. And we have to say no to contracting work. And I have drivers, not all the time, because they're being utilized on routes if people are out. But if we do have a bus and we have a driver, I mean, we get calls every single day for other districts, and we just say no to that because we don't have an extra bus because we're running our drivers and our buses, and we don't have an extra bus. Our spare to route bus capacity too should be 5 to 1. We only have 3 spare buses as well. So the fact that we have that we're running almost 20 buses on a daily basis and don't have spares is a problem for us. We've got a couple engine issues that we're dealing with. I've got a bus sitting up at Wolfington. That's going to cost us 30 grand to fix. It's an older used bus. That's why we want to buy new buses. But I will say that I do not know of any, like, we didn't order buses, right? These buses were ordered a year and a half ago. If we don't buy buses now, I may not have transportation for students for next school year.
For our current enrollment.
At the 6 through 12 level. Yes. If we don't add, if we add 100 students, I need to add at least.
So if 100 students is not added, will we have the transportation we need for next year?
If we don't add students?
Yes.
Yes.
The fiscal year 23 cost of doing this, given these financing options, is, depending on when the loan would commence, approximately $25,000 this year.
And the biggest implication for transportation is that with the fact that we didn't order buses and the state didn't order more buses, I might be like this if we say, oh, it's June and we know we have these extra students, I might not have extra buses. We might not have transportation for students. So we haven't run into that. Yeah. So
would it alleviate any problems that we're having now?
Yes.
Are we having any difficulties meeting our routes?
Not having difficulties meeting our routes, but when you have a bus down, like bus 9 that's right out here, we're fixing the brakes on it. Like, we have to run a spare bus. And you don't hear or see this. It happens every single day. We have 1 to 3 buses down. And we haven't had a day where we've had to double back a bus yet. I say that keyword, yet. Right? Some of our fleet is 6 years old, right? Some of the used buses that we were able to purchase, especially during COVID, because they weren't making buses. And these buses that were made were a year and a half out. Are they going to be sold? I don't know. I don't want to come to this meeting next month and say, I'm sorry, but we don't have the ability to buy these buses. And then I'm scrambling to find more buses. I'd rather plan ahead and be safe. I'd rather have 3 buses sitting and know that they're ready for next school year and that they are ready to be routed for students, especially with the capacity we have on buses, right?
Any other questions?
You said there are 48 seats.
Quick question.
Is it the Delaware spec that drops them from 78 to 40 or 72 to 48?
So there's 72 students grades K-5. So the little guys are 72. So they are 72 passenger bus, but 6 through 12 is a true 55 because we have 6 graders on a bus. Okay. And the 6 graders sit 3 to a seat. But I will tell you, that data shows that the less kids on a bus, the less incidents that you have, the faster the routes, the less incidents that you have, which is why we try and make our routes under 25 minutes, 25, 30 minutes. And being able to add buses will allow me to peel away. You know, like, so say that we have 2 stops down in, 1 in Bear and 1 in Fox Run. I can add just one bus to Fox Run and have 35, 40 kids on that bus. Add the other bus at Bear with 35 to 40 kids, as opposed to 55 kids on that bus. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, sure.
Yeah.
Elias, you had a comment?
Yeah, just along those lines, I mean, could you talk a little bit about our current capacity in the context of, I believe it's really tight, and I know that in some circumstances, parents want some flexibility. For example, maybe they're separated or something, and kid wants to be on one route one day and another route another day, or they have after-school activities where a different route would be helpful to them. And I know we've had some challenges in that space. And so where are we, like, capacity wise now versus how is this going to help alleviate some of that and offer parents additional flexibility with choosing buses or multiple buses if they have to?
Sure. So a very good question, because we will accommodate you if we have space. And we always tell parents that, as long as you're a full-time rider, you have a seat on a bus. Now, if you are in a split household, or if you live with grandma and you live with dad, or whatever the case may be, or mom works in Wilmington, but you live down in Bear, we want to accommodate you if we have space. Out of our 16 routes that we run, 6 through 12, 9 of them are at 50 or 55, meaning we're not adding students to that route. There are 3 buses that are that I call yellow buses, meaning they're like approaching, and there's a few buses that are like 40, 41, 42. Will this completely alleviate that? No, no. I probably need 35 buses to completely alleviate that. But this will alleviate the problem a little bit, probably by like 25%. But if we have capacity on a bus, we always say yes. We always say yes. We check the ridership, we check the driver, and then we add the student to the bus. I actually did it today for a parent. So we want to support our parents the best that we can. But if I have 55 kids, or sometimes we go a little bit over because of sports and because of the way that ridership lies, if we have 57 kids on a bus, I can't push you on that route. Now we'll find a route that's closest, but sometimes it doesn't work for a family. So yes, this will help us.
So you're saying that if we were to approve this and we were to get these 3 buses, because at the beginning of this year we got a lot of complaints from families about that exact issue of being able, so you're saying that that is not going to be something that we're going to get emails about next year, that we're refusing parents flat out, because we've heard that from dozens of parents in the beginning of the school year?
Sure. So through September, because up until the September 30th count, if we have, again, it depends on the bus, right? If you're on a bus in, and I'll use bus numbers just because I know where the route goes, right? If you're talking about bus 7, grade 6 through 12, there's 41 kids on that bus. If you're talking about my Bear Library bus, I'm sorry. I don't have the capacity at the Bear Library yet. If I add another bus to the Bear Library, will I have capacity? Yes. Will I have seats? Yes. Does it not mean, and it, the Hocus and Pound used to be a problematic route for, since I became part of transportation. Now, it hasn't been. It's not saying that it won't switch back to Hocus and Pound, and the Bear Library will not be an issue after we alleviate this issue. We have a high ridership. In a district school, they assign 95 kids to a route, and 40 kids ride a bus. At Odyssey, we assign students as they come on to that bus, and everybody rides that bus. When you think of almost 1,000 students in grade 6 through 12, and that over 90%, it's like 92-93% of our students ride buses, that's a high capacity. Is it going to alleviate 100%? Definitely not. Definitely not. I probably need 10 more buses to alleviate it 100%.
I'd really like to see the capacity on the buses route wise. You're saying that we're running that, but this is the first we're hearing of it. So that's, for me, the more information is better for me. That's me personally. And I'm coming from the largest school in the state. So I'm only telling you, I've seen it done. I know how it happens. So I'm just more concerned as to why we're not having these kinds of discussions before we're being asked to make such a financial impact decision. That's all I would like to have heard of these bus issues, right? Like, we're over capacity, we're this, we're that, because all we heard in the beginning of the year is we weren't doing it because it was like our policy, right? Like, we weren't going to be able to accommodate because of issues with drivers, with buses and all that. Not really so much that we were over capacity on buses. So I would like to see more of that information.
And I can email you that tomorrow. We have like the exact ridership number of all the students on all the buses. The biggest piece too for student safety too is that we know where students are. Mm-hmm. So and in years past, and before I became in charge of transportation, students used to ride whatever bus they wanted. Families would, they would switch buses, they would change buses. But if you're assigned a bus, that is the bus that you need to ride. And in district school, you know that. If you're assigned XYZ bus, you don't get on another bus. You get on your bus that you're assigned. Why? Because that's the safest, because then we know where you are.
Yeah, but then there, but in district schools, they also have policies for when that needs to, when it needs to occur. If something was to occur and happen, there is a policy, there is a procedure, and you know that that student's getting on the bus with the pass and all of that. So there's ways that it's done in district schools. Absolutely. There's always rules. So that I guess my more of my point is I understand the safety aspect of it. But again, understanding that you're saying our ridership numbers are our capacity numbers on buses is already very high. But this is the first word that I'm actually hearing of that. So I'd like to get that information. That's all.
Sure. And I want you to know, I've always run our numbers as close as possible, because we know that, and even 6 years ago when we first started buying buses are not cheap. They used to be $92,000, right? And that was with air conditioning. Now without it, and air conditioning costs about $12,000. Without air conditioning right now, they're $110,000. So they've gone up, there you go, over $30,000 in 6 years. But what I will say is that if I do not have three buses next year and we have these students, I may not be able to transport students grade 6 and 12 next year.
So let me try to understand it as well. Are you saying that if we buy the three buses and the students remain at the numbers they are today, the situation will be better as far as transportation, but if we do add students, we are going to be in the same, not ideal situation we are this year with all the difficulties and limitations you mentioned?
I don't think we'd be proposing a bus purchase right now if we were not anticipating a growth in the enrollment next year.
Well, in my opinion, we should have discussed that before the buses.
Yeah.
That's what where the confusion was. This was all part of the minor modification and how we were going to be increasing over the next 3 to 5 years. So that's what they're anticipating, based on the numbers that were presented during the minor modification.
Well, personally, due to the issues that we have with adding kids at the September 30th count, I do think that that's something that we need to revisit as a board. That information needs to be brought to us separately.
And that may be the case. We may not be adding those numbers, but we could still use the buses.
Yeah, not possible to operate.
Yeah, these were all determined when we went through the minor modification. So we can revisit, but we also have to look at the budget and how we're going to function.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion or questions?
Jeff, just a quick question. Are the loans, are they loans or are they lines of credit to purchase buses?
They're loans.
Okay.
We had previously utilized a line of credit, I believe, with M&T Bank, but we found in some of the most recent purchases we've done over the last couple of years that we've been able to get a more competitive rate with Santander.
Could we postpone this vote for the next meeting so we could have some additional information?
We could. I cannot promise that the buses will still be available.
If you guys had these additional buses now, would you be able to put them to use, or would they be sitting? In other words, could we increase capacity? Yeah, I mean, could we increase capacity or add additional routes to alleviate the stress on busing right now?
Yes.
Elias, did you hear what he said? Because he was talking at you. We're talking. If you want to repeat what you just said.
Yeah, it glitched for a second, but I heard he said, I thought he said yes.
Evan, do you want to repeat what you said? Hold on, Elias. Evan.
Yes, they would not become contracted buses like a route bus immediately this year. They would be used as contracted buses and when buses are down.
But we could also, but we still also have, we're still also using first First State or whatever they are for buses. So in reality, if we brought these buses on, we could then move off of those contracts and start utilizing them as Odyssey drivers.
We're not using First Student, right?
Correct. We're not using
First Student. We're not using, contractor buses.
Are we fully running all our buses with Odyssey drivers and Odyssey buses now?
Yes.
Okay.
But we're 100% on time every day. Shameless plug, sorry.
Got a lot of this today.
I mean, I think we need buses. There's always stress on the system. And having more gives us the option and flexibility to add routes, increase capacity on routes, add new stops, and lease out some of the buses to other districts as well, too. So I think there's opportunities there.
Is that a motion or is that a statement?
That was a statement, but if we're done having discussions and we want to move forward, we can put a motion on the table if we need to. Are we done with the conversation?
Well, we can have a motion and then have discussion.
I'll put a motion. I motion that we move to approve pursuing loans to buy additional buses.
Do I hear a second?
I second.
George. Hi. Any other discussion? Any other discussion? Any other discussion? All in favor of approving the bus loans, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye. I oppose.
Okay. So we have one motion passed. Congratulations. Any buses? Okay. Now, anything else that, any other new business that we have to be presented? Or short meeting? Good at school? We don't have anything for the good at school? We had really good fun of that today. It was a little distracted day, but that's okay. We got through it today. Anyone else have anything they want to say before we close? No? Okay, well, thank you all for attending. Thank you all for those who hung out. Have a great rest of your February. Happy belated Valentine's Day, and we will see you next month. Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
So all in favor, aye.
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 Thank you so much. Have a great night, folks. See you all.